For this week, Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find them on FAIR's website. It's FAIR.org. The website is also the place to sign up for FAIR's email network. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
The time is 5:59. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. Tonight, host Jordan talks about what it takes to be a woman of color in Hollywood.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Fiesta Flamenca Navideña, on Friday and Saturday, December 11th and 12th at 7 p.m. at the Headwaters Theater in Portland. Fiesta Flamenca Navideña will celebrate the season in flamenco style with performances by Three Shine Flamenco, Stomptown Flamenco, Coro Navideño, and more. Again, that's Fiesta Flamenca Navideña, Friday and Saturday, December 11th and 12th at 7 p.m. at the Headwaters Theater, 55 Northeast Farragut Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of BikeCraft, Saturday and Sunday, December 12th and 13th, at Bike Farm in Portland. BikeCraft features handmade gifts that support bike culture as well as food, drink, and music. Again, that's BikeCraft, Saturday and Sunday, December 12th and 13th, from 11 to 6 both days at Bike Farm, 1810 Northeast 1st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm. on the right side of the homepage, under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from PBP Insurance, working to assist individuals throughout Oregon with open enrollment process through healthcare.gov. Information on how PBP Insurance can help is available at 503-223-3638 or enrollnoworegon.com. And People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven cooperative striving to provide access to whole foods customers can trust. People's features farm-direct organic produce, bulk foods, a weekly year-round farmers market, and everyone is welcome. Located on Southeast 21st and Tibbet Street between Division and Powell. More information at peoples.coop.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists. We give voice to those working for social justice and equity, globally and locally, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression. All of this, and we have fun discussing topics that we are passionate about. If you would like to follow our story, you can like our page on Facebook by getting updates and viewing behind-the-scenes photos. We are also on the web at www.kabu.fm/breadandroses. If you are interested in joining the collective, everyone is welcome. To host, produce, or engineer with us, contact KABU's volunteer manager at volunteer@kabu.org. My name is Jordan Michelle, and tonight on Bread and Roses, we are going to have a conversation about women of color in Hollywood. Female executives, writers, filmmakers, and actors of color are persistent in their perseverance to share their craft in the world of entertainment. But how far will they go in an industry that promotes one-sided ideals of womanhood and racial identity? Tonight, I will share the process, the journey, the joys, and the obstacles that women of color face in television and film. To start off, I'd like to invite my friend, Anaya, who also aspires to be an actress, along with myself, who has also had light experience in the entertainment industry. So to lighten things up, Anaya, why don't you just tell us why you would like to be an actress one day?
Well, hello. Thank you for having me. And I would like to say that acting for me has always been an incredible form of art, and mm-hmm. it's like an incredible form of expression where you can truly like show the world, you know, who you are, and like just you connect. It's really learning to connect with people, and that's what it is. And mm-hmm. you're making something that's imaginary very real, mm-hmm. and you know, people connect with it. And I think that it's very it's fun, and it's, you know, you have these busy lives that you go through, and it just takes you into another world where you can just, like, you know, separate from that and just entertain someone else for a change, and, you know, take the focus off of yourself. And that's what I really like about acting, is that just the art in itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what sparked your interest?
Well, for me, growing up, I've always been a shy individual, so I've always tried to step outside my comfort zone. And like when I was a freshman in college, I actually decided that, you know, why don't I try something, you know, that I've never done before. And I've always been into, you know, doing impersonations and doing, you know, little accents ever since I was a child. But, you know, I was never really like bold enough to like, you know, do it in front of a crowd of people. But so I was like, let me take a class and let me see how, you know, what this could be like, you mm-hmm, know? Mm-hmm. So I just thought of it, this is just another form of art, and I'm just gonna express myself. Mm-hmm. But it's been a really, it just really has helped me grow as an individual, so.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So your college classes and experiences were good? Like, what kind of, have you auditioned for things? Like, what kind of stuff have you done?
My experience was good, because in the classroom you get lots of critiques. You, mm-hmm. you know, you'll get that feedback from your professor, versus when you go on auditions, you know, they'll kind of say, okay, thank you, thanks for dropping by. You know, you don't really know what you did wrong or what mm-hmm. you did right. Mm-hmm. But I just know that being in class, like I've had a class where there was directors and there was actors in the class, and we would have to like perform these scripts that our classmates would write, and they would really, I noticed that they would write to a particular role, but it was like, you know, I didn't really feel like I connected to that role. Hmm. Like culturally, I feel like it was a little, you know, geared towards. So, I mean, I didn't always hit it on the head like they wanted to. Like, you know, I don't really relate to this character. But you would think that they would, you know, let me write the, you know, this script for this actress or right. you know, because I mean it's a class, so there's right. like a whole pool of people, but
right. Right,
but I just feel like I just, where are the roles for me? And even like going on auditions, I feel like, okay, I feel like where do I see myself in this big picture or in the media around Portland? Like, I just feel like I honestly kind of feel like, where do I belong, like, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of been my journey. So,
And just so all our viewers know, we're both, you know, young Black girls who are trying to get into this industry. And being in Portland, you know, it's already a limitation on entertainment and television opportunities, but it is here. It is present. And before we go any further, I do want my listeners to know that this is going to be an open forum. So we do want to open the lines in case you guys have any questions about this industry, and I will go into further detail about the process, but our phone lines to call in is 503-231-8187. And again, the phone number to call in and share a comment or a story or whatever you'd like is 503-231-8187. All right, and you're listening to Bread and Roses, and my name is Jordan Michelle, and we're talking about women of color in Hollywood. So, Anaya just got finished talking about her experiences in college and her experiences in acting classes and how her teachers would write, you know, for certain roles, but being that, you know, you are a Black girl and, you know, you have this role that's probably written for someone who's white or whatever the case may be, it's hard to connect with these roles. So I definitely want to dive into further detail about that. You know, me professionally, I do a lot of work in equity within schools and implementing an equity lens. And the one of the major critiques Hollywood has is not having the diversity on television, you know? So, just to talk a little bit about myself, I have the privilege of being around well-known television actors and actresses. My dad was involved with television, and you know, from a young age, I was able to observe these actors on television and shooting scenes, and just got to see all the behind-the-scenes stuff, and that sparked an interest in me. So at the age of 9, I was given the opportunity to audition for a role on the show that my dad was working on. And I didn't have any acting skills or any experience, but I had a really big personality. And, you know, I just observed the actors my dad was working with all the time. Mm-hmm. So it kind of came naturally for me. But it was a great experience. And my experience was unique. So for my listeners who are really interested in knowing what that process takes or what it looks like, here it goes. I'll probably do like a step-by-step thing. So if you're interested in acting, and yes, in Portland, it's really different. I'm from Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, really all it takes is to find accredited agency. And when you find that agency, they usually ask you to learn a monologue or to memorize. Well, yeah, usually it's memorize a monologue, and you'll set an appointment to go in and audition and read off your monologue. And then from there, they will come back and, you know, think about it and see if they think that you're going to be profitable. If they think that you're going to be good enough to book roles. And if they don't, then they're like, sorry, you know, keep, you know, taking those acting classes, keep working on it. But if they think you are, then they'll just be like, yes, come aboard. Let's do this. So for me, I did my auditions when I was really young, and I had my agent, and they would first call me for audition. So they'll say, hey, Jordan, you know, you have an audition at 3:00 on Sunset Boulevard at this time, be there, you know. And so you would go to the audition, and you'll be in front of casting agents, and usually they'll have like a little clip of or a script for you to memorize right then and there, or they'll send you a script ahead of time so you can learn it at home before you come to the audition, and you'll read it in front of the casting directors. Sometimes they'll record you. And then you'll leave your audition, and you'll get a call from your agent later on saying, oh, hey, you got a callback. Or if you didn't get a callback, then your agent probably just wouldn't call you back for it, but they'll just keep calling you for other auditions. Mm-hmm. And for me, Perfect example, I did a show called That's All Raven. And on That's All Raven, it's a Disney show. And at that time in my life, I was really young, and that show was really popular, and it was really exciting and fun, and I was starstruck myself. So when I just got the opportunity to audition for the show, it was super exciting. So I ended up having two callbacks, and callbacks, of course, is when you come back and you first audition in the casting agents, and then you audition in front of the directors and producers and writers, and you might have up to 3 to 4 more callbacks after the first audition. And I auditioned, and I got a call from my agent saying, "Jordan, you got the part." And, you know, I'll be at home with my mom and dad and sister just screaming, calling on my family, "I got the part, I got the part." And shooting a television show, it takes about a week. And for commercials, it could take 1 to 3 days, you know, depends. And for movies, it takes about 9 to 12 months, or it can take up to 6 months. But the whole preparation can take years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there are lots of technical and verbiage that, you know, I hope I'm explaining clear enough. But it's all just a great experience. I think I already have a caller. Dennis, are you on there?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Dennis. How are you?
I am doing great this evening.
Wonderful. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, I love accents. And I love impressions, so I was wondering if your guest, Anaya, could do some of her great impressions, do some of her impressions and her accent, the accent, please.
Go ahead, Anaya. Are you ready?
Well, all right. What would you like me to say tonight? Thank you for calling, Dennis, but I think it's time for you to go back to your family and whip up some supper.
That's beautiful. Can you do one from the island?
Sure. Why not? I could do one from the island for you. You see, we when you go to the island, we like the pineapples, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got the smoothie, we got to ride the waves. You know what I'm saying, man? And make sure when I get home, you whip up that roti for me now.
Hey! That's awesome. Thanks for requesting that, Dennis.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Have a good evening.
Good evening.
You guys have a good night.
All right, you too. Oh, my goodness, Anaya. That was great.
Wow, that really caught me off guard.
I mean, you were ready. Right on the spot. You're a true actress. There we go. Don't have nobody do that to me.
Practice, right?
Right. All right. We have another caller, Demetrius.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Don't you sound familiar?
How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing really well. How are you doing tonight, Demetrius?
Good. I'm just excited to hear you guys. I love what you guys are talking about. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Yes. Are you an aspiring actor as well?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not really an actor, but I love the actor scene. I love improv and all that. So my question for you guys is, like, what are some ways that I could, like, get some strength and get better at the craft? Like, what should I do?
Mm-hmm. Well, did you want to answer, or you want me to?
Well, we can both tackle
okay.
it. To get better, I would definitely say always dig and do your research. You know, there's so many different techniques, so many different approaches you can take. Definitely surround yourself with other actors and have someone above you who has been in the business for a while and who really knows their chops, and then they can just pour that into you. So it's really just finding someone who's has really basically finding a mentor and someone who you can trust that will give you, you know, honest feedback, you know, and so you can have growth.
Right. So. Right.
Oh, okay.
I agree. And for me, I would definitely study actors that you like, and just observe their movies or their craft, or look up interviews by them, or, you know, do, like Anaya said, do some research on where they came from and how they started, what schools they went to perfect their craft, you know, things like that. But improv, you can just have just with your family, you know, or amongst your friends, just practicing your sharp skills like Anaya just did. Like, that was awesome to just improv right on the top of her head and then having to do an accent. So, yeah, that's what I would suggest.
Wow. I really appreciate the advice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go for it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You guys have a wonderful night.
You too. Thanks. All right. And I think we have one more. Carolyn?
Yes, this is she.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi there. I'm not involved at this time in the acting thing, the gig stuff. But I did notice that both of you said some ums and some filler space sounds. Ooh. I've been a Toastmaster for 3 years prior at a prior time. And I recommend both to the two of you youngsters and to the gentleman who just spoke with the question of what do I do to get back or get keep on my shit. That you, all three of you, join Toastmasters. This is a plug for Toastmasters, but you may not be aware of it. Also, as well as others who are listening on the program who would like to increase their speaking skills. This is an organization which is more or less, it's relatively inexpensive. It's less expensive than taking a class in a community college, basically. As far as I know.
Wow.
And they have clubs all over the place which meet anywhere between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. almost every day of the week. And you joining one club enables you to speak at a variety of other clubs when they have open slots in their schedules.
Awesome.
And you do get feedback every time you speak.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So when you have these Toastmaster sessions, do they typically get to prepare before they actually make their speech, or is it kind of like they're just talking off the top of their head, or do you get to prepare for it?
No. What the deal is you pay a small sum, and you get two books. One is leadership, and the other is the speech sequences, the assignment list. You might say your class, in a class they have a sequence of course structure, and I forget what the word is, and then you have assignments using different skills. You get credit for each speech. When you give a 3 to 5 minute speech, you have a person who listens to you for critique, frequently positive, negative, positive format, and then you. It's sort of like it's combining leadership with continually speaking.
Okay. Wow, that is awesome. Thank you, Jordan. We should definitely try that.
Yeah, I think so too.
And you see, you can speak more than once a week if you make friends with the various clubs that are happening during the time you can come. There's also, I live in the Hillsborough area, which is Washington County. And I know, I'm flashing on that there has been a club that is theater or film or radio broadcast focused.
Okay.
There are clubs with slightly different focuses, but generally the focus, the basic is speak once a week as often as you can.
Okay. I really, really, really appreciate the advice. And I will definitely look into this. We do have a limitation on our guest calls, but thank you so much for sharing your input. I really appreciate
it. You can look it up on the computer, on the internet. It's Toastmasters.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right, we have one more caller, Jessica.
Yeah, hi, Jordan.
Hi, how are you? Oh, it's Jessica. Wait.
Oh, you know each other.
Yes, perfect timing, Jessica. Thank you so much. Okay, so yes, we want to dive back into what we originally were talking about. Anaya, this is Jessica. Yesterday, I actually had the great opportunity to go out to Salem and go to this training around implementing equity into our school systems. And the reason why I wanted to make this correlation with, you know, women of color in Hollywood is because Jessica used a great example of how she uses her classroom to teach her students about equity and what it means to diversify, in her case, Hollywood. So, Jessica, did you want to go into detail about your project with your students?
Yeah, sure. So I teach at my school.
Uh-oh, you're going out, Jessica.
Oh, no. Is this better?
Yes, I can hear you a little better. Yes.
Okay, hopefully this will work.
Oh, that's perfect.
Okay, I won't move. So I started about 5 years ago. I started investigating, or I've been teaching, sorry, let me start over again. I've been teaching for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And about 5 years ago, I started looking around at my students in my classes and thinking, oh my goodness, I think a lot of my curriculum is mostly aimed at the white kids. What can I do to disrupt this? Mm-hmm. And so specifically, one of the things I like to teach is writing for television and writing TV shows with my kids. Mm-hmm. And so I started exploring with them this whole, what is Hollywood showing us? What are we seeing on TV especially? Mm-hmm. And so we started to question, why is Hollywood so white, and why are those stories the stories that are being told over and over and over again?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. So what I took away from Jessica's message is all the statistics that she was showing on how most of our writers are white, and that writers can't necessarily write for a demographic that they're not familiar with, and or choose not to write about, or have these black writers and directors and CEOs involved, or have given the opportunity to be able to write and be funded to create the shows and the movies and the television shows to do so. And I also want to share something that Viola Davis, from Jessica, mm-hmm. Viola Davis had a very, very empowering speech when she received her Emmy for Best Leading Actress in the show, How to Get Away with Murder?
Yes.
And how... The main thing I took away from that, and she quotes, "The only thing that separates women of color from anyone else is opportunity. You cannot win an Emmy for roles that are simply not there." You know, mm-hmm. And that kind of goes with what you were saying, Anaya, in the beginning. You know, when you would take your acting courses, you weren't able to relate or give 100% to your role because you just couldn't connect to it, right? So Jessica, what sparked you to choose that theme for your project in your classroom?
Well, I mean, for me, I've always been interested in issues of equity, and I've always been interested in the media and the mm-hmm. messages that the media sends us through, you know, all kinds of mediums, mm-hmm. And specifically with television, it's so... From a writing perspective, it's so interesting to be able to write something and then see it immediately, like that you can see it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right.
And so I wanted to use that with my students. And but like I was saying, the thing that really caused me to take a step back and look at this through that equity lens was just kind of taking a look at my classroom and saying, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, I need to be teaching to the kids that are there.
Yes.
And so we need to really be disrupting this. We need to be going out and saying, how can we change this? How can we question this? And how can we, I mean, I'm not under any delusion that kids in Hillsborough, Oregon are going to be, you know, changing Hollywood, mm-hmm. but kids in Hillsborough, Oregon can be paying attention and asking those questions.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And what kind of, positive feedback have you gotten from your students by this project?
Yeah, students were really excited about just being able to give voice to their own stories,
mm-hmm.
And to their own experiences, and to kind of be given the space to do that, mm-hmm. and the permission to do that.
Right.
Because like we were talking about, so many of those slides showed that like 95%, that was like that big number, if
right.
you remembered from
yeah.
all of that. Like 95% of these writers or these people in Hollywood are white. And so why aren't there more stories of people of color? Well, mm-hmm. we've got a system that doesn't allow for that.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you for just having that courageous conversation in your classroom, because I know it's not easy. And, mm-hmm. you know, because I also work in the school and I, you know, try and encourage administration to have these trainings implemented in the school so that all teachers are aware of this, but not all teachers mm-hmm. are open to hearing this and learning about equity. So thank you so, so much, Jessica. And thank you for calling in. I just smiled
yeah.
so big when I heard your name. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your work with equity too.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I'm going to take one more call, and then we're going to continue with our conversation.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
And who am I speaking with?
Kaimani.
Kaimani?
Yeah.
Hi. How can I help you today?
How can a kid become an actress?
How can a kid become an actress? That's a great question. So, have you shared with your parents that you're interested in acting?
Yes.
And so if your parents are around, if they're listening, I think the best thing to do is to do some research on some local agencies here in Portland. Are you from Portland? Yes?
Yes. No, I'm from the West Coast.
You're from the... Okay. So I would do some research in your area or wherever you are to see what kind of agencies are local, and make sure that they don't ask any money from you on the spot. So I don't know if you or your siblings or your parents have ever experienced this, where you're just walking down the halls in the mall and someone walks up to you and says, hey, you look like you want to be an actress, or you look like you would want to do Disney Channel, or, you know, and they want to ask you for money right then and there. And that's not real. Those people will not help you. You know, when they ask for thousands of dollars up front, that they're not going to do anything for you. So usually how it works is when you find your agent, again, you will audition for them. And if they think that you'd make a great actress or a great actor, then you will then go out for roles. And if you were to get any parts, you would give your agent 15% or something like that of what you make on the show or the commercial or the movie that you do. So for now, you're still young, but you can start at any age. If your parents give you the okay, definitely have them start doing their research and start taking some acting classes, and you'll be right on your way.
Thank you for all that information.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So I was just briefly speaking about Viola Davis, and she's been a mega force in Hollywood right now as a black actress, but not only a black actress, a very great actress at that. And she's had numerous roles, and she's won and has been nominated for a number of things. And I really wanted to play her Emmy Award speech, which I briefly spoke about. But yeah, we'll listen to this and then come right on back.
Who is a graduate of Juilliard?
In my mind, I see a line, and over that line I see green fields and lovely flowers and beautiful white women with their arms stretched out to me over that line, but I can't seem to get there no how. I can't seem to get over that line. That was Harriet Tubman in the 1800s. And let me tell you something. The only thing that separates women of color from anyone else is opportunity. You cannot win an Emmy for roles that are simply not there. So here's to all the writers, the awesome people that are Ben Sherwood, Paul Lee, Peter Nowak, Shonda Rhimes, people who have redefined what it means to be beautiful, to be sexy, to be a leading woman, to be black. And to the Taraji P. Hensons, the Kerry Washingtons, the Halle Berrys, the Nicole Beharis, the Megan Goods, to Gabrielle Union, thank you for taking us over that line. Thank you for the Television Academy. Thank you.
All right. What a powerful speech. Again, that was Viola Davis when she received her Emmy Award. And I just kind of want to expand on what she was talking about, how, you know, she sees this line and she sees all these beautiful white women across from it. And they're, you know, they want to embrace her and welcome her into the world of entertainment. But there just simply aren't opportunity for her to be a part of that. And the director of Selma, who's an African-American woman, says that Hollywood is a whole bunch of closed doors. And it kind of, you know, is an example of what Viola was saying. And Hollywood is made up of predominantly white males. And these white males can only write what they know, you know. And Tyler Perry, who is a very big face in Hollywood in the black community, says a man well known for having black films with all black cast says that he doesn't think that Hollywood intentionally leaves black women and black actresses out, but that a lot of people writing the scripts and stories behind many television shows and movies are simply writing about what they know, and they might not include black women. So that's in somewhat of defense, but at the same time, it's really important that we diversify Hollywood and that we do have more people like Shonda Rhimes, who's a black writer, and that we do have actresses who are being vocal, like Viola Davis is, you know, in speaking out. Gabrielle Union, who's also another popular black actress, does the same thing. There's a another author. I don't want to butcher her name, but it's Shimamanda warns the dangers of telling a single story from a white male perspective is that people outside of that experience begin to believe that their stories are less valid. So when a white male, you know, talks about or writes about stories in movies and films and things like that, and us people of color are watching these things and we don't see anything about us, it kind of makes us feel less than, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like what you were saying about stereotypes and having roles that are stereotypical, you know? Mm-hmm. Us as black women, we are portrayed in television and film as nannies, as the help, you know, mm-hmm. as slaves, as you know, being sexualized, you know, most of the time, you know, we are the sexy image. But, you know, why couldn't we play a role Angelina Jolie plays?
Exactly.
Like you were saying, mm-hmm. like, how do you feel about that and how we're portrayed in the media?
I think that it's very important to look at how we're being portrayed in the media, because mm-hmm. You never see us as the lead role, and like, mm-hmm. not that the roles are negative that are out today, but as a serious role as like a positive or as like a like a heroic role mm-hmm. for a woman, or like a influential leader, or, you know, just in a position of power. You don't see that as a woman, because, like, you know, oh, for God forbid that we can't give that role to a black woman because, oh, that's just not the way we do things. That's mm-hmm. not their type of role. But I just think that for everyone who doesn't grow up in that environment and all they see is us portrayed in these, you know, like you said, nanny roles, or like the typical whatever, baby, mama, whatever mm-hmm. you want to kind of mm-hmm. call it, roles. It's like you don't get to, they don't, that's all they see. And so then it's putting a negative image on yeah. black women in general. And like people don't get to see, you know, the whole face of black women, and like
right.
we're diversified just like any other race. Like every right. race has their leaders and mm-hmm. has their people who are maybe not, you know, at the top of the totem pole, right. so to speak. But it's like we need to have the chance mm-hmm. to like show our, you know, our
skill set.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Our craft, our skill set, our knowledge, and
mm-hmm.
what we bring to the world is different than what any other woman can bring to the world. So it's like we need to have that opportunity to, you know, to showcase that.
Right, right. I agree. I think another role that we usually play are for documentaries, you know, when we're doing Selma, like, you know, portraying Dr. King, or if we want to do a documentary on Ray, or, you know, I feel like that also leaves a window of opportunity for us black actors and people of color to do films like that. And you don't even see directors and writers of other people of color, like Latino, you know, I feel like a lot of faces in the Latino community is like Jennifer Lopez and Pitbull. I mean, and those, Jennifer Lopez, she's an actress and, mm-hmm. and singer, and Pitbull's just a singer. But it's just like, we all just need that opportunity. We need that diversity. And so many of us want to pursue acting. And then when we do, when we are in the field, then it's competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're already limited roles, and then when you have a big group of us black or people of color who are going after the same role, and then it's, oh man, like how come she got that role, you know? Mm-hmm. And I experienced that when I was acting growing up as a kid, you know, all of the same black young actors would be at the same auditions. I'd see the same people at every audition, and I would just make sure I would do my best, and so would everyone else. But then when we would see them on the TV screen, I'm just like, man, I was so close to getting that, you know. And then back then, I used to be really upset, and I used to hate on other people really bad.
That's very real.
It is. But now that I'm older, and I realize that we need to be supporting each other, you know, because there's already limitations. Everyone's going after the same thing. I understand that. But if someone else does get it, good for them. I'm happy. I hope you continue to excel in your career. But then it's like that bittersweet feeling, too, because Hollywood is used to familiar faces when it comes to us, you know. So once they see that this movie went really big with this black actress, they're going to keep using this black actress, you know, until they want to have a fresh face, mm-hmm. you know, and then cast someone that isn't big yet, you know. But there's that repetition. So it's all about supporting each other and creating the opportunity for each other to be successful in the world of entertainment. And anyone who's listening who is aspiring to be a writer of any race, you know, just think of how diverse our population is in the U.S. You know, minorities are going to be the majority in a couple of years. And I was reading some statistics, and it was saying that people of color are the biggest buyers of movie tickets than white people. So if you have this, you know, this crowd of consumers at the movies, and they want to see themselves in the movies, you know, and they're more likely to support movies and television and things like that if they see people that look like them. You know, they're less mm-hmm. likely to watch an all-white television show than a show with all kind of different people in it, you know? And so, I really still encourage everyone to pursue their dreams in the entertainment industry and don't get discouraged. And yes, it's going to be a challenge for anyone, you know, because I always say that being an actress is like playing the lottery because you just don't know what role you're going to get. You know, it can come down to just your appearance, or if they want to match you with a family, you know, there being similarities in facial features and things like that when it comes to booking. Like, you may be just as good as the next person, but just little details like that can really make a difference. All right, so before we continue, I'm going to take a break and play a song, and we'll come back and close the show.
I heard church bells ring. I heard a choir singing.
This is Jordan Michelle, and you are listening to KBOO with Bread and Roses. I'm here with Anaya, and we are talking about being a woman of color in Hollywood. So we were previously just talking about our experiences being young actors. I'm currently live in Portland, but I'm from Los Angeles, so I, you know, used to be involved in Hollywood directly, and I grew up around it, and I had good and not, I wouldn't say bad experiences, but obstacles to face, being that I was young and black, and I had limited roles and auditions, and then, yeah, Anaya had some experiences in college where she felt that there were some barriers in her classroom, and didn't feel like her cultural needs were met as far as when it comes to writing. Am I on the right track?
Right, yeah. Because you know that characters, they do have a backstory. And, like, if you don't relate to that backstory, It's like you can't really sell the performance.
Right.
Like if you don't believe it, like who else is going to believe it?
Right, right. So, exactly. Yeah. So we wanted to transition our conversation into television being the focus and how we as women of color are portrayed. So in today's time, reality TV is really big. And we see a growing number of black reality television where we're not necessarily portrayed as the brightest people, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, really messy and not classy at all. It can be pretty messy, and, you know, people look forward to seeing the fights, and, you know, there's those Housewives of Orange County, Housewives of L.A., Basketball Wives of Miami, you know, and that's what it's come down to, you know, and in Hollywood, if you want some kind of opportunity, a lot of young people think, oh, I need to be a reality star to make a name for myself and then go from there, you know, and it's sad. It's really ridiculous. Like, how do you feel about it?
It is sad because you think that you have to act a fool just to get somebody to watch you,
mm-hmm.
and not knowing that you have values and you have something to offer
mm-hmm.
the world, that people might say, oh, hey, you know, what is that about her? You know, there's something that's, you know, you have your own special gifts that you need to offer the world, and not just think that acting crazy because you think that's what other people want to see. You have to be true to yourself.
Right.
So I would just say don't settle for that image. Like, just because people are doing that and, oh, this is what the media thinks you should look like, because Hollywood is a very, it's an altered reality.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just, okay, this is the image. That's just what someone's perspective is. So do not get hung up on that. If you enjoy, you know, reading books and, you know, you enjoy, you know, not getting into fights and gossiping, but you enjoy going for long walks or, you know, just hanging out with your friends and, you know, just doing things that you enjoy doing that don't involve terrorizing your, you know, your friends. Or so, I mean, I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm just going to say, like, don't settle for that. That image and that we know what you see on TV, because it's not always real.
Right.
So.
Right. And then it's sad because, you know, we have these actors and actresses who are really working hard to have a presence on television, have a presence in film, but that Hollywood wants to give us the opportunity to have these reality shows, but it's not making us look good. You know, whatsoever.
Right.
And, you know, same thing with music. But that's a whole nother ball field that I'm not familiar with, so I won't go there. but yeah, reality versus sitcoms. You know, sitcoms are considered, you know, your comedy / drama, you know, everyday type shows like Friends and The Cosby Show and things like that. And that's what I would like to see more of today. You know, I really would like to see the reality shows slowly drift away and see some real opportunities for acting and actors. For those listening, this is an open forum. So if you would like to call in and share your opinion or just chat with us about acting or just being a woman of color in Hollywood or just any interest that you might have, the phone number is 503-231-8187. Again, that's 503-231-8187. All right. So yeah, also when I was acting, I would go out for different genres of films, and it would be like horror, and then you would have comedy, then you would have like drama. And I think being diverse in your skill set is really important. And, you know, I really want to stress the acting classes and perfecting your craft in general. For me, I was young, so playing in a scary movie wasn't an interest of mine at all. And it's something I wouldn't do. Like, would you play in a scary movie?
It depends. I'm not really, I don't watch scary movies typically because I'm just not into the, you know, this, the spiritual side. I don't like, I don't play with that. But I will, you know, I prefer action, you know. But as far as thriller and horror, like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, want to put myself in a reality. Because that's what you do when you act. You put yourself in that character.
Yes.
And you, you know, what you read on that script is supposed to become real for you. So, like, why would you want to live that and practice that? And, you know, so that's just not,
But then that's a good question. Because if you want to do this thing called acting and you want to be in that world and you already are limited, how do you turn down roles?
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Because it's like, you know, where are you going to let your standards be? Like, you know, what are you going to compromise? Where are you going to... So it does get a little...
It's touchy. It gets touchy, a little sensitive. Actually, I have a perfect example of that. When I was actually in the fifth grade, so I was 10 years old, I had the opportunity to act in the movie Dodgeball. And in Dodgeball, in the beginning of the movie, I was one of the Girl Scouts, and I had to curse. Like, I had to curse. And of course, you know, my parents were just like, oh my gosh, what do we do, you know? And this is not something that we want or what we believe in. And I was even uncomfortable saying it. And so then there's that thing, like you were saying, how do you compromise yourself for your role? And in the world of acting, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But in my case, the directors and producers, they respected my wishes and they let me say the clean version of, of the words, but eventually I had to say the real thing, and they ended up using that in the movie because they're not going to filter the movie just because of me. But, but I agreed to do the movie, and yes, it was a sensitive topic, but we got through it, and it actually is a landmark role for me, even though I had one line, and that's one thing that people recognize me on, and it's funny. It is funny, but then it does have that question mark, like, how far are you willing to go? And as an adult, if I were to be an actress, you know, there are sex scenes, there are, you know, all kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, if you're, I don't know how married folk do it, you know, and it's just, you know, how do you...
It's like, where do you draw the line, you know? Like, you might say, oh, this is okay, and then, you know, the next day, oh, well, this is okay, because it's like, you know, you're progressing in this direction, you don't even realize it, because you're trying to prove a point or trying to grow as an actress, but really you're just, like, devaluing yourself, so. It's
Or then
hard.
You're just taking it as, this is the craft, and this is what I signed up for. But at the same time, if you're in corporate America, there's going to be things that you don't necessarily want to do. You know, I mean, just in everyday life, there's going to be things that we don't want to do, but it's our job. Or, I mean, I don't know. It's overall, it's a sensitive topic, I think, like we were saying. But yeah, I think that for me, if I were to ever go back, I don't know. I kind of think it'd be hard for me in particular, just because I was there and then I left and then I came back. But it was fun. I don't know. I might just leave in the past. But then I'm also interested in exploring producing and directing, you know, being in charge backstage, being the visionary, being the creative, to see how everything should look.
Exactly, because there's so many different aspects to it. It's like you can be involved in any part of it, so and that's another thing, like, you know, as a Black woman, you don't have to limit yourself to just being in front of the camera. You can be behind the camera, you can be writing the script, like, there's so many different roles that we can play outside of the actual movie too, so you can think about that. But I think as far as just like saying, oh, I'm done with it, I'm not gonna do it anymore, I tried it. You know, and you go through different stages in your life where you're growing and, like, you know, you're enjoying yourself. You've gone through college, you know. So you're just learning yourself and exploring all your gifts and talents. But if you come back to it, and there's a season for everything. So, like, maybe that season was, like, you know, like, your beginning was, like, planting the seed. And now, like, you know, it's, you're going to see it into fruition one day.
Right.
So, like, don't knock it. Don't knock anything.
Right.
So, exactly.
No, that's good stuff. Thank you for that.
Yeah, just giving of course.
You a boost of confidence.
Exactly.
And for you. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't discredit any of my talents or gifts. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, it's not the season for that. I'm like, who knows what, you know, what opportunity will come up one day. But in the meantime, like we've been talking about, working on your craft and just, you know, just go for it. And don't sell yourself short or, you know, talk yourself out of it.
Yeah,
but,
for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And, you know, if being really serious, then to put yourself in a place where you can succeed. And in Portland, yes, they do have opportunities, but you know, taking that risk and moving mm-hmm. to Los Angeles or to New York or to Atlanta, wherever the work is, mm-hmm. you know, not letting go of that dream. And for me, I think in the back of my mind, I'm always like, I can always go back into it. You know, there's no age limit when it comes to
That's
being
right.
in television. Yeah. But thank you to all my listeners who've called in and listened, and I hope that you got something out of it or know what kind of basic steps to take to become an actor, an actress, or to be a writer, to go to school for what you're passionate mm-hmm. about, not to give up. And yeah, I just persevere, stick to it. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Leanne, for being co-op tonight. And you guys have a great weekend. Thank you. This is Jordan Michelle. You're listening to Bread and Roses.
Right here. It is straight up 7 o'clock. Welcome to your Friday. Hit me, Blue Rhino, kicking it with you. And it's time for Davey D and the crew. Yes, it's Hard Knock Radio time, people. So get ready for your soggy Friday night. Curl up with a cup of Joe and listen to Hard Knock Radio. You're listening to 90.7 FM KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Charles Adams Family and Friends, an art show of 52 original artworks by the creator of the Adams Family and beloved New Yorker cartoonist. The show is up through December 13th at the Saruman House, 5131 Northeast 23rd Avenue in